Guests in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Wanna believe what you say, but I hate you almost days. You've been testing my faith and my patience, yeah. Oh, and you know that I'll be headstrong, but you know that you'll be dead wrong. Telling me to relax when I'm reacting. But I'd rather fight than lose sleep at night. At least you're mine. And if I have to choose my heart or you, I'm gonna lose, yeah. What if nothing ever will change? Oh, I'm caught between your love and a hard place. Oh, I wish there was a right way. I'm caught between.
Hi everybody, welcome to Defiant Hustle Radio. This is Noreen, and I'm really thrilled that you're listening tonight because, first of all, it's a lovely evening, even though it's pretty hot. We've decided not to complain about heat when you're waiting for the heat all year, so other than that, it's a lovely day. There's the sidewalk sale outside, so there's a lot of commotion on the streets here in Greenwich. And the real commotion is right here in the studio tonight because I have the absolute pleasure of having with me in the studio tonight Connecticut State Representative from Greenwich, Mr. Fred Camillo. So welcome, Fred. Nice to see you.
All right. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here and good to be back here in the studio with Bob.
With Bob. Yeah, Bob's at the controls here behind us. And Bob, you can always join in if you want. But
I have to. I'm just kidding.
No, you're good. You're quiet back there. And then you always say something after we're done. I'm like, Bob, why didn't you talk during the show? But, well, Fred, you and I were talking on the phone a little bit because there's so many. You've been in public service for a decade now?
Actually, my civic service really started in my early 20s as a baseball coach and running clinics in town, and then went on to the local legislature, which is the RTM, one of the biggest in the country.
Right.
And did 3.5 terms there. I served as a chairman of the Parks and Recreation Board here, several other committees, boards, and task force. In the state legislature, this is my 11th year, and I've loved every minute of except for the
the
6 o'clock in the morning debates and the 4-hour traffic jams. But besides that, it's been a real honor and a great experience, and really grateful for some of the work that we've been able to get in up there, even from the position of a member of the minority party. Been fortunate enough to get many bills
the Republican
written.
Party.
Yeah, many
in
bills
Connecticut,
passed.
Yeah. Oh, is it getting, it seems like everything's so polarized now, is it getting harder?
It is.
It's easier?
Noreen, it is getting harder. It's a great question. It's filtering down now. It's still not as bad as Washington because of the gerrymandering in D.C. makes it really hard for people to come to consensus in the middle because, you know, you'll have a Democrat from San Francisco it doesn't want to go too far to the middle because he or she will get primaried on the left. Mm-hmm. A Republican from Texas or Carolina will feel the same pressure, but only from the right. So they kind of stay where they are and dig in. We have gerrymandering here in Connecticut too. All 50 states do, which is basically gerrymandering is every 10 years they have a census to see, you know, get a population count. And they have to readjust the districts because of population losses or increases. And both parties get together and they redraw the districts, and some get stronger for each party, one gets weaker, and it's to me, it's not the best way to do it. I had a bill in this year to allow for some independents to be on the redistricting census commission, but unfortunately, people loved it up there, but didn't we didn't get a public hearing on it, which means they didn't love it that much. But it's never been as bad, and it's still not as bad, but I've seen it, some of the partisanship get a little bit worse, and now it's even filtered down into our town, where you have some of these national groups here. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one here in town that's on the far left that, you know, they're having vigils all the time, but the vigils are always attacking something. And
they're having vigils?
Well, vigils, like there's one coming up this week, I think, and I don't know how I get on these email lists, but you know, it's very coming from a negative position, and there's some of the letters to the editor have been outrageous, not telling the truth. And so, as I was telling you before, you know, we going on the air, you got to keep a sense of humor. Uh-huh. And without a sense of humor, and without you know, distractions and things to keep you busy and focused, because again, most of these people who are writing things and saying things don't even know you, and so you got to take that into account and not let it rent too much space in your head. But you know, if you're a human being, it does bother you a little bit.
Yes,
but it unfortunately it's infected our town too. But I still firmly believe that most of the people here in our town and in our state are good people who don't do that. They may be partisan, but they're not mean spirited, mm-hmm. and they you know, rely on facts. So the minority that's, you know, vocal, I call them the vocal minority, who are always on the attack, you know, I think they show themselves to be who they are, and you can't just – you have to really focus on the good that's out there. And I think there's always more good than bad. I really do.
I think a lot of the good people stay quiet because they're just sort of going about their business. And politics, people – I mean, we all are born with a certain amount of anger or things that we want to – I don't fully understand it, but projects out onto other people or other issues, and politics is the perfect portal to find an issue and buckle down and really feel very confident and, mm-hmm. And abrasive about it, and go out and you have a place that you can go out mm-hmm. and attack. So you put yourself in the middle of this, Fred. So
exactly.
What were you expecting?
Exactly. And so you know what you're getting into, and I always try to promote public service, and I have to now tell people you got to have a thick skin, but the rewards far outweigh the aggravations.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, there's nothing like helping a constituent who's had a problem and, you know, getting a letter from them or a note, an email, whatever, saying thank you so much, the problem's been resolved. I remember one person in Riverside had called me, and it wasn't even a big deal. It was something to do with 95, and he had tried for 30 years, uh-huh. and it really was one call, and I don't know.
He tried for
30 years to get this problem fixed, and I don't understand why it took that long, and there may have been other reasons for it, but to me, it wasn't a big deal, and he couldn't thank me enough, and I'm thinking, boy, if I'd really done something. But there's nothing like seeing somebody happy, uh-huh. Somebody genuinely happy. And people may call you at all hours, and you may be tired. You may have been having a bad day, and it may not seem like a very important problem or issue, but to that person, it may be the most important issue in the world. And you have to remember that. You can't roll your eyes. You can't say, oh, my God, again, are you kidding me with this problem? No, because to that person, it is a big thing. So
why don't you just tell Bob directly to stop calling you at midnight?
How did I get involved? What happened?
It's you, Bob. I know. No. Oh.
Bob is not, for the record, Bob is not one of them.
No. Bob's great. Oh.
But I do have opinions about the highways, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, you do. We'll get
we'll get into the highways, Bob. We've got the show. We have the show just for you, and we can get into the highways. Well, you're running for first selectman here in Greenwich.
Yes.
What does the first selectman do?
So first selectman basically is like a mayor. Same thing. You know, it's a New England form of term. Our RTM here, you know, in Greenwich, dates back to a special act from the state of Connecticut, formed in 1933 as our BAT, which is our finance board, was, I believe, 1902. But, you know, our representative town meeting years ago when, you know, Greenwich was founded, people would go to the village square and the whole town would vote. As the town got very big, it was unwieldy. So they formed this Greenwich representative town meeting. And we had a, you know, even our neighbor Stamford, Connecticut, which is a city now, had a first selectman 70 years ago. They switched over to a mayoralty. So their mayors, in Stamford's case, it's every four years. Our first selectman, like a mayor, is 2 years. And so it's every 2 years you'd have to run for re-election. And it's the same as a governor on the state level or a president on the national level. You're the CEO of the town. You're the face of the town. You have several departments under your jurisdiction. There are some, like the Board of Ed, you don't have under your jurisdiction. But, you know, you have a platform, and you certainly can use it to try and influence an issue or to promote something. Everybody has an opinion. I always tell people, just because I'm in office doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion. I do.
Really? Oh, that's shocking that people would think you'd be in office.
Well, if they don't like your opinion, they'll let you know. So I don't forfeit the opinion, but certainly you have to realize you're representing everybody and you have to have proper respect. And somebody calls you up with an issue or a problem, you don't ask them if they're a Republican, Democrat, independent, or unaffiliated. You just help them. And that's your job. And, you know, at the end of the day, you just want people to say, well, he or she was fair, and they were responsive, and they were proactive, and they left it in a better place and condition than they found it. And me, as far as running for first selectman, in Greenwich, we've had, since the 1930s, I think the best run municipality in the state of Connecticut. We've had a pay-as-you-go system, so we didn't get into too much debt. We've, in the last 15 years or so, we've gone to modified pay-as-you-go, meaning we'll take out short-term loans, you know, 5 to 7 years to pay off projects, but no long-term bonding. Now, the Democratic Party in Greenwich is now seeing fit to pursue another path, which is long-term borrowing. So there's right there, there's a big issue between the two parties, which is, I think, a healthy debate for us to have. Okay. But for a selectman, you have the authority, you know, over certain departments. But again, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said that with public sentiment, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed. Mm-hmm. So if you're promoting things that aren't popular or that are not well thought out, you could almost assuredly be, you know, saddled with a defeat. And so I'm running because I want to be not a custodian and a good custodian. I want to be a transformative leader. I want to be somebody who takes this well-run town and brings it to the next level. And when done, exit stage right and have the next person come in there and take it to the next level. And so we have a great agenda. I know we can get into some of it tonight.
Let's get into some of it tonight.
You know, okay.
Okay. Well, if you have anything else, sure. But I know we were talking about some ideas you had for Greenwich.
So I want to basically reform the way we fund projects here. Most of it's done through public monies, right, through taxation. Lots of towns, not only in the country but in the state, are very quick and more embracing of a public-private partnership, naming opportunities. Mm-hmm. So you can go to the Bob Small Eastern Greenwich Civic Center because Bob wrote a check. And most towns don't have a problem with that, and it's done very tastefully. And we've done a few in town, but not many. And we've had a lot of opportunities. So I think we really have to change the way we think, because otherwise our low mill rate, lowest in the state, it's not going to stay very low because there's a lot of projects that are on the horizon where you're going to have to pay with public monies. You know, the sewers, the schools. You're not going to get a school named after anybody. You're not going to get a sewer named after anybody. But you can get fields named after people. You can get facilities named after people. So, or, you know, or in honor of somebody. But we have to do a better job. So reforming that.
So what are we doing with the public-private partnership money?
There's no. So basically, if somebody wants to, say, give a $10 million gift to a facility that we're raising money for, you would work out the terms. So it could be, you know, the Fred Smith Athletic Foundation Center for 20 years. And if it's, depending on the size of the gift, you know, you could structure these any way you want, but certainly it would relieve the taxpayer, and it's done all over. And I've been involved in some of these things where we've brought people to the town sometimes, and there's so much red tape, and they just throw up their hands. And so we have to do, I think, a much better job and really get people in on these boards that are going to be embracing of this philosophy. So that's one, reforming the way we fund projects.
Okay.
Also, I want to revitalize long-dormant properties, repurpose some other ones. When I say that, we have some of the most expensive real estate on the East Coast, in the country, yet we have trucks parked on them, in them. DPW, Department of Public Works, uh-huh. Parks and Rec. And so I've spoken to the directors of those departments, and they're great, doing a great job. And they say, yeah, sure, just find us a spot for them. And I always tell people, there's no great place to park the trucks. Someone's always going to have an issue with them. But the one place they're not going to be is on the water, if I'm for a selectman, because, you are that's not the best usage of our assets.
So what would you do? So you take the trucks away.
So what are
you putting there?
So, for example, I'll give you two examples. There's three. There's a building in Koskob. It's on the Mayanas River.
Mm-hmm.
There's some plans there we looked at to make that water dependent. So where you put you make it a little cafe and some other, maybe a little store that's water dependent or water related. And boaters and kayakers and the rowers.
Good, I love that idea already.
And you have a little dock there. They could pull up their boats and grab mm-hmm. lunch. Really take advantage of being on the water,
right,
instead of parking trucks on the water.
Right.
There we have an old greenhouse right down the road from that in Costco, been dormant for decades. Whether you want to put an RFP out or request for a proposal for the business to get the town some money, or get over to the Greenwich Community Gardens to let people, you know, have their own little plots there to grow things. You would enhance the waterfront, and you would get some more pride, community pride there, and some sweat equity into it. And really, you know, take a property that's just doing nothing now and make it something. In Greenwich, this is the big one, between the Arch Street Teen Center and the beach boats, we have some buildings there, which is prime real estate. In the harbor, and yet we have Parks and Rec trucks there. And it's not their fault. They've been there forever. So we just have to find a place to park those trucks. And then what you do, we have plans to, and they're not final plans, these are just conceptual,
right,
to establish a waterfront district that would be...
Yes.
That would extend Roger mm-hmm. Sherman Baldwin Park,
uh-huh.
Maybe take out the road that goes along the beach boat and make the road that comes off of 95... go up along the other on-ramp to connect it to Steamboat Road, so the road's not near the water. That thus extends the park to where the parking lot is. And on the parking lot, you could build a couple grades of levels of parking into the grade, so it doesn't block anything. You could put a nice little green park on top that where there's benches to have, you know, a sandwich overlooking the water, or a cup of tea, or a beer. And... if you really wanted to step it up, you could take the front row where the front of the parking levels and put a couple of small restaurants there. You would have waterfront dining. You know, who pays for that? Does the town lease it out? We own the property, which is great, so we have some options there. But you would connect, by doing this, you would connect Greenwich Avenue to the waterfront. And you would also, under the underpasses in 95 and the railroad, you would actually lighten that up. Get the graffiti off of all the underpasses. I've already spoken with DOT. They would allow the town to do that with permission. I already spoke to the director at the Greenwich High School art department about maybe, you know, they would be willing to do some murals, uh-huh. right? And that wouldn't cost anything. And, of course, we saw in the paper the first selectman, Peter Tesi, was at a press conference, and there's some plans to redo with the Ashforth Corporation the Greenwich Railroad Station.
That's on, right? That's on, right?
So that's – you're talking – that could be part of this whole thing. So there's some really big things we can do. And in the interim, there's lots of small victories and achievements that you are absolutely vital because you don't – the first selectman gets the elections in November, but you get sworn in December 1st. You get started on these big ticket items right away. But if by June 1st you don't have some small things done that people can drive around town and see, wow, that's different, that looks nice, then you're going to be a little bit of pressure on you. So the other things are, you know, I would have a community enhancement, a Greenwich Green Task Force, which is basically a community enhancement committee that would report to the Board of Selectmen every 30 days. Mm-hmm. And that could point out certain parts of the town. We've already got about 10 areas that need to be enhanced in really nice ways that would change the dynamic, change the aesthetics of certain areas.
Enhanced, meaning just making it beautiful, taking
– yes.
Because it seems – I guess I live by Bruce Park, so I always drive off exit 4 purposely to cut through to my house.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful there.
It could be whether just changing the streetscape. It could be – getting the graffiti off. There'll be a zero tolerance graffiti policy, sort of like the Rudy Giuliani's broken windows theory in New York City. If there's a broken window, one, you fix it immediately, because it takes a lot more guts to have for somebody to pick up a stone and break the first window rather than if there's 15 windows broken. Same thing with graffiti. Once you see it up, you have to immediately get rid of it. Because the more it's up there, the more easier it is for other people to do that. And we have it.
Can we take a quick break before it gets too far along here? We have traffic reports, and I'm sure people are on the highway wondering, what's going on? Yes.
Everything's fine. Just keep driving. you've already been down that highway. Come on.
We'll pick up the graffiti when we come back.
That's what I'm thinking.
So we'll be right back. This is Noreen, and this is Defiant Hustle Radio. We're here with Fred Camilla.
No long delays, 95 northbound from exit 6 in Stamford all the way up to Bridgeport. Southbound slow from exit 4 across the state line. Merritt is slow northbound from exit 31 to 34, 40 A and B to 49. Traffic sponsored by Compassion International. Change the world for a child in poverty through Compassion International. Text CHILD to 83393 and find out how. I'm Adam Walsky on 1490 WGCH.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Supposed to clear, mild and muggy tonight, lows 65 to 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a late day shower or thunderstorm, highs in the mid-80s. Occasional showers and storms, locally heavy rain tomorrow night near 70. Friday, showers and scattered thunderstorms, becoming more isolated in the afternoon near 85. The Portchef Ferry, your instant vacation for your family and your car. Forget the Throgsneck bottleneck traffic, drive right on board and relax. It's anchors away for summer fun. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. Touchdown in the land of the
Hi everybody, Delta welcome back. Blues. This is Noreen and this is Defiant Hustle Radio, and I am here with State Representative and candidate for first selectman of Greenwich, Fred Camillo. And Fred, we were talking during the break about, see, now I live on Ridge Street here in Greenwich, and I work at the top of Greenwich Avenue and Putnam Avenue. And so Greenwich Avenue is fantastic, and yet something, I want to say something about it is, I'll use the word outdated or not, it doesn't have enough, I want to say depth or something. Mm. And I was talking about having lived in Santa Monica and Venice Beach in that area. And there's something that's more youthful, mm-hmm. more expressive about the community that the, you know, I understand some national franchises have to be there, but that shows personality and accessibility.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, when I grew up, it was a two-way street, and there were a lot of mom-and-pop stores. And when the rents got out of control, that's when you had the buildings being bought by REITs, you know, real estate investment trusts, and then you had the national chains coming in. A lot of us weren't happy about that, but we were happy that there was somebody there. But now we see lots of vacant storefronts. So a lot of us are hoping that you'll see some of the reemergence of the mom and pops. But what we could do is that's within our control. I mean, some of them are market forces, but things that are in our control, which would be to spruce it up a little bit, give it a shot in the arm, reinvigorate. If you look at, Greenwich is always compared to Rodeo Drive.
The Beverly Hills of the Northeast.
But if you Google Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive, there's a little bit of a difference here. Now, granted, there's a little strip in the middle, which we don't have. But, you know, there's a consistency there that we don't have here. You know, they'll have a palm tree every 7 feet or whatever. We don't have that. We don't have palm trees, but we could do a little bit more there. We could also, I always wish that we would brick the avenue or you know, make it cobblestone like Nantucket. That's probably not going to happen. But I did speak with some people, and we could either, if you didn't brick it, you could certainly do a sizable crosswalk of brick. There's ways to do it that are a lot less expensive, that are longer lasting to technology. Certainly, you can have a nice little shuttle area, shuttle going around from area to area to help with the parking situation. Mm-hmm. Even though we do want to have take care of the, you know, a parking, you know, into the grade parking levels near the Island Beach Boat that doesn't block anything. You'd have a 2 or 3 levels of parking there. But you don't want to go crazy with parking garages, because in 10 years now you may have lots of self-driving cars that will drive you to the station and then go home.
Right.
You're always going to need parking, but I don't think we want to overdo it too, because we've seen that happen in other jurisdictions. So I think you got to do it, plan ahead 10, 15 years ahead with where technology is going to be. So we could definitely spruce up Greenwich Avenue, connect it to the waterfront, to a new waterfront district, and then have all these other pockets of enhancement around the town. Even, I was reading today, a friend of mine who's a mayor of a city in Connecticut. I was in recycling, and I wrote and introduced a bill that increased recycling in Connecticut, and had two businesses and have been a recycling volunteer for decades. And because of the collapse of the recycling market, towns are going to have to pay to get these recyclables shipped out of town. We're out of their towns, where before they were getting money. So you're going to have to try and get things out of the waste stream, because it's going to cost us money. So I was reading in one of these towns, they're having a textile pickup, you know, clothes and things like that, where it doesn't, the company comes in for nothing and they just put it out on the curb. Now, we normally frown upon that. I was a founding member of Greenwich Recycling, uh-huh. which really set the standard for recycling numbers in the state of Connecticut. So we try to shy away from that, but there's a way to do it, and we did get around that. We had the blue bin pickup then, but if that gets it out of the waste stream, that's less money that we're going to have to pay. Plus, it's going to be recycled, which is the ultimate goal. So we want to make it a greener town, and we were a leader for many years, and I was, again, a managing director and founder of Greenwich Recycling. We disbanded that in 2011 when something that I was advocating for came into fruition, which is single stream. But now a lot of the single stream items are not are going back into the waste stream.
Let me just follow. So single stream is what does that mean?
So basically, single stream is where they throw all these recyclables into one can. When we first started recycling, you used to have to do one can was glass, metal, plastic. And then there were newspapers separate. And then another day was mixed paper, like office paper, white paper. So there was three right there. And then cardboard was a fourth extra. Single stream was throwing everything into one.
I see, I see, so I see.
And they would go to this facility, and the machines would separate them out. And then they'd have people at the end of the conveyor belts who would reach in and see, collect some of the things that the machines missed. But because of some contamination issues and what happened in China, a lot of these things are not being accepted now. So they're going back in the waste stream, which is going to cost us more money and end up in landfills again. So anything I can do, we can do to get those numbers down again in the waste stream. And this was a great idea. So certainly it's going to be put on the agenda for Greenwich. And we're making great strides in other green areas here in town. So we've come becoming a leader again, which is good.
Yeah, I think there's so many intelligent people here in town too, and younger people, and we can talk about this in Greenwich, or we can talk about it on the state issue, but we were talking about out-migration of younger people who are going to even the cities, right, Boston or New York, if they're sticking closer by, or they're going to the South or the West, or it's Southwest and cheap is what I call is what I read. But how do you start to address?
Sure,
something that I think, you know, I know we're not comparing apples to apples, but Brooklyn seemed to get something right there, where there are young people. We were talking about Midtown Atlanta, Santa Monica, Venice.
Well, Brooklyn's a great example. When the Dodgers left Brooklyn in 1957, it went downhill for about 40 years. And it's in the last 20 years, it started to come back, and it's coming and it's back. Connecticut has seen from the 24 to 34 year old demographic had the biggest out migration of all 50 states. So when I was in the when I first got there, we put in a bill, and in 2011, we got it actually passed, but they never implemented it, unfortunately, which is learn here, live here. We were trying to keep young people who went to school here to stay in the state by taking their state income tax and putting it into a fund that they can't touch for up to 10 years, and they take that money and they could put down towards a down payment on the house, which would have been a great tool to use to keep the young people here. But unfortunately, the head of economic development department has not implemented it, and unfortunate, we scream and yell because we expanded it too to medical institutions, and so that's, you know, one way to help keep them there. But we're trading places with Illinois every month, one or two as far as number one in out migration. That's not sustainable, and a lot of this has to do with state tax policy and other regulation over regulation. So unfortunately, you know, the usual draws that the South has, the weather and affordability, now is really been magnified. So even a state like Massachusetts to our north, which we used to call Taxachusetts, now has lower taxes than us. And it's not just a warm weather area about this out migration. That's a fallacy. People are bringing that up. That's not true, because New Hampshire is a little colder than us, and they actually had a net increase of people going into the state.
So what do you think it is? So
it's mainly taxes.
It's taxes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people can spin it any way they want. I see people all the time, and I found out three people in the last week and a half, the friends of mine in town, I didn't even know they moved. They're all down south, two in South Carolina, one in Florida. And that's on top of the ones I know that
and
are moving.
And how old are they? Because we're dealing with two populations, too, because you have a lot of people who are older in Connecticut.
40s.
Now. Oh, that's...
And the other two are in their 50s.
And they moved to Florida.
Families.
Really?
Family. Well, Florida's gotten a lot younger. Florida is flush with cash and jobs. Florida was... Their legislature ended a month before ours there this spring, and they were they're doing so well. They were arguing. The governor wanted to put $100 million into their tourism office, and the legislature, which is more conservative, said, no, come on, Governor DeSantis, you're supposed to be a conservative. We're only going to put $38 million into it. We had zeroed our zeroed it out in Connecticut. We had actually defunded it because there was no money for it. So a state like Florida, which is already the recipient of our bad decisions, mm-hmm. are now pumping more money into their tourism. So they're doing, and they're little by little, the things where they trailed us, you know, a lot of these states, you know, their education systems are getting better. So we have to really push our game, get our game up a little bit and a lot in the state. But on a local level, we can't rely on any help from Hartford. And with the federal tax law passed last year, which lots of people like, but with the $10,000 SALT deduction limit, so you can't deduct anything more than $10,000 on your state and local taxes, and that's pretty get to that pretty quick around here. Then there's an incentive for people who have some money who like to buy real estate. There's less incentive now to do that, mm-hmm. so that didn't help. And you know, there are lots of segments in our real estate market here in Connecticut, Fairfield County, and unfortunately Greenwich that they're not selling. So
the big houses.
So under 1.2 or 3 seems to be selling still. As you get up, climb up the ladder a little bit, it's
in
not
in the back country. It's back country. I think I read it dropped
terrible.
25%.
Terrible.
I don't even know what term, but that was just in the last few years.
It's bad. It's very bad. Very bad.
But you definitely see. I want to say condominiums, maybe some homes, but condominiums coming up here in downtown.
Downtown has changed a lot. When I was growing up, it was a very working class era, which we loved. And everybody would say, boy, our dream is to get 4 acres in the back country if we ever struck it rich. But now the trend is people want to be close to the railroad station, close to the hospitals, the shops, the stores, and be able to walk. And I get it.
This is what Florida, which is hot. Well, I have family down in Savannah, Georgia, and in Florida. My sister's she was in Delray most of the time. She's in Boynton, and my other sister's in Stewart. Mm-hmm. But anyway, people know Florida. They have access to the water. I would think right off the bat that's something that I like that you mentioned, which is just access to the water. It's
we have
this gorgeous, gorgeous Long Island Sound, and I don't think people have any place to go. I know every time the sun comes out, everybody congregates at Lascaux. As it's not that Lascaux's lovely, don't get me wrong, but there's really no other place for people to go just sort of sit and be outside or really take advantage of the outdoors here.
Yeah, and that's part of the thinking here is we have to create that. And also we were talking before about, you know, lots of us are active and we love to be outdoors, especially when you're on the water. So how about more trails and parks and trails that connect parks? We're going to be dredging Greenwich Harbor, and instead of fighting over what to do with the dredged material with New York State, we have a dumping ground out there in the Sound somewhere. We could take some of that, and New York would love us for this, and create a land bridge, say between Grass Island and Roger Sherman Baldwin Park. And I spoke with some people who live in that Belhaven area, and they liked the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and again, you would be able. It's a walking path. It's healthy. I walk trails all the time with my dogs, and I love finding new trails. And I go in the woods, but along the water. I mean, Coscott Park when I grew up was the Coscott Power Plant. We knew it was on the water, but we never envisioned what it would be like to stand there at that old sooty, broken down power plant and look out and see one of the most beautiful views you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And so that alone, there's a walking path along there. Every time I go there, it's like the feeling I get when I walk in the state capitol. It never changes. You're excited. It just does something to you. And I think there's more of that here that we actually can do that people haven't even thought about yet. So I'm really excited and about the opportunities that exist out there. We just have to have the will and the courage and the persistence to do it.
Right. That's what it's going to come down to. I don't know what it's going to come down to, but it really would be somebody I don't know. You brought up Abraham Lincoln, but you need someone. You need leaders like that right now, right?
You do.
Really stand your ground and say, this is, I hate to say it, but we got to bite the bullet and pay down this debt somehow.
Yeah.
You really have to have people who want to take pride in this state and stick with it, even if it goes through a little tough period. But people don't have a lot of fortitude nowadays. They just take off when something goes tough.
I think re-election, with that in the back of everybody's mind, it sometimes tempers people's passions and game plans. And as I said, and I'm in my sixth term in Hartford, and as much as I love my job, I love my town more. Uh-huh. And I would, look at my first term, if fortunate enough to be nominated and elected in November, to treat my first term as my last term. And if the voters thought I did a good job and there was some real movement at the end of that term, then and only then would I think about a second term. And I think that's a fair way to do it and an honest way to do it, because if you're sworn in on December 1st of this year and you're making decisions based on, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble with that group. And I think do what you think is right. Do it with, as Lincoln said, with consensus. Mm-hmm. Get the buy-in of people. That's how you get things done. You need to get people with you along every step of the way. And then to get things done, then you're going to see some real movement, some enthusiasm, and progress. Without that, I just think we're granted again. It's as I said, the best run town, but it's not perfect. No town is. That's why we do what we do, because we want to make it better.
Phenomenal town. I mean, it really is one of the. My opinion matters that much, but when I was coming back to the Northeast. I grew up on Long Island. I've lived in Summit, New Jersey, which is another lovely town. And I could have chosen any town, and I'm older, and I don't want to keep moving. And I said, I know which town I'm going to. I know I lived in Stamford for a little while. I said, I'm just going to move to Greenwich, and I'm never going to leave. It's
nice to hear. I'm glad to hear that, because it's got
everything.
Yeah.
You've got access to the highways. You've got access to the trains. You don't have as much access to the water as I'd like, but fortunately, I sail, so I get out there. But I do think people who don't have boats need some place to go that doesn't cost them $13,000 or $50,000 a year to join a club. The avenue and even some of the events we have here in town, it's wonderful. You've got a farmer's market that needs a little attention, but at least it's there. You have the Greenwich Town Party. You have so many intelligent people who are really true masters.
How about the beach boats? We have 31 islands in Greenwich, but two of them actually have beach boats going out to them, Great Captain's Island and Island Beach. And so many people here just don't take the time to enjoy it. Even if you don't go to the beach, but to take a boat ride out there, it's like going on vacation. And because of my injuries this summer, I'm not able to go out with my dogs kayaking, as I always do every summer, but I will be taking some island beach boat, which is my favorite boat. That beach boat, that's my sailboat. But it takes you away from everything, and you're right off a shore.
It's like being on vacation. It's gorgeous. Once you're out on the Sound, it's gorgeous.
And the Parks and Rec Department, I don't know if you know this, but they actually do some cruises where they have music on it, special cruises, and you have some drinks on there, and then I think at the end of the year they do one where they spin around the whole coastline and around the islands. It really is. It's a special place, and it's almost when September comes and those beach boat the season ends at middle of September. I every year I would get depressed because I'm thinking, boy, we still got two more months of good weather, and yet I can only get out here with my kayak, which is fine, but the beach season would basically end. But it just makes you love it that much more that we actually live in a place where really it's a destination.
It's a destination, and it's also safe. I mean, as a woman, I mean, anybody wants a safe place, but I do love the fact that as a woman, safety is always in the back of your mind. And I just love that it's not not an issue for me. It's just it's clean. And I just love the level of movers and shakers here in town. So
what do we need to get done?
All right.
Well, we need to get a commercial in. So,
Bob, we have to talk about your we're going to talk about the – you wanted to talk about the highways?
Well, that's a state issue, really. And we've been sticking to you know, local stuff. So I can stick to local stuff.
Yeah?
Let's get those lights up on Greenwich Avenue in Christmas time.
Why, they're not up anymore?
Well, there's always a struggle as to who's going to pay for it.
Yes.
And I'd like to see, you know, something more
Fred's
consistent.
Pay for it.
I mean, if we're talking about wanting to make Greenwich Avenue look better consistently for the businesses, there's an area that money could be put towards.
I can't imagine. There's so much money in this town. I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't really understand everything that's going on with the finances here, and I'll study before I have you back on again. But it's just shocking to me in a town like, do we have to go to a break? I guess we can.
Well, we're near the end of the hour, and I want to get it in before it's too late.
Okay, go ahead.
See, okay.
He's always pushing me around, Bob. All right.
He really invites me to do it. I don't know. What am I going to say? You're listening to Defiant Hustle.
Defiant Hustle.
And our guest tonight.
Fred Camillo.
Fred Camillo, that's right.
Still long delays, 95 northbound from exit 6 in Stamford all the way up to Bridgeport. Southbound slow from exit 4 across the state line. Meredith slow northbound from exit 31 to 34, 40 A and B to 49. Traffic sponsored by Compassion International. Change the world for a child in poverty through Compassion International. Text CHILD to 83393 and find out how. I'm Adam Walsky on 1490 WGCH.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mainly clear skies for tonight. Mild and quite muggy. Lows 65 to 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A late day shower or thunderstorm. The high near 85. Occasional showers. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. The rainfall heavy at times. The low near 70. And showers and scattered thunderstorms Friday. Diminishing in the morning. Partly sunny in the afternoon. Few redeveloping showers and storms near 85. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed, maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defiant Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry, where I helped start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173. Well, it's Noreen Ehrlich, and this is Defiant Hustle Radio, and we're talking so much here in the studio that you got to listen to a little Journey, which, Fred, you said that's from The Sopranos?
Well, that was the song that they played for the last episode where Tony was in the diner with his family, and everybody thought he was going to get whacked, and everybody walked through that door immediately you thought was a suspect, and Tony looked up at somebody coming in, and the screen went to black. And we all thought across the country, everybody thought the TV, there was a blackout or something.
Uh-huh.
And that's how Was it David Chase, the producer?
Yes,
that's how
yes.
he wanted it to. And unfortunately, with James Gandolfini passing,
they
are doing recasting now for the next Sopranos, but it's not going to be the same without James Gandolfini in it. But anyway, that was the song that was there.
That's the important stuff we're talking about here in the studio. All right, so Fred, you're running for first selectman. And so what do you want to tell the people that are listening that you want them to really know about so that they're voting for you?
Well, thank you very much. I mean, when people seek office, they have only their records to go on and their vision. And I do this with a respect for our great past, but with a vision for the future, a bold vision. And as I was stating before, the great Vince Lombardi, the greatest football coach of them all, always said you always strive for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to attain it. But along the way, you just may attain excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to strive for the very best, most perfect town you ever envision, knowing full well you're never going to get everything you want. But I think we can transform. I'm not running to be a caretaker or just a good custodian. I want to be a transformative leader that people said, you know, after he was all said and done and he was out of there, the town was a better place. And that's a great legacy to leave. The great Jackie Robinson, the Brooklyn Dodger, once said that life is unimportant except for the impact it has on other lives. And that's the impact I want to leave, a better town.
That's beautiful. I'm curious, though, as you're speaking, because when people come up against you and say, inevitably they're going to come up and say they don't like something you're doing or that whatever they're going to say, that's stupid, that's crazy. Does that hurt your feelings?
No, as long as they don't call me names and everything else. But
really?
As I always said in the legislature, I could come up with a bill that I think is going to cure cancer and someone's going to have a problem with it. It's just the nature of the game and the business, and I get that, and I don't take offense to it. Again, I tell people all the time, I don't want people agreeing with me all the time just to say, you know, be yes people. That's the worst thing in the world. I want people to challenge. Being challenged on your ideas is a healthy thing, and it makes you come to a better conclusion. But I always tell people, if you're going to email or call, just do it politely like you would want done to you, because I did a forum here with now Attorney General William Tong, who was former state rep, and he said that if someone's nasty in an email, he doesn't respond. And I say, no, I'll always respond. I'll give you one chance. I'll say, listen, you know, whatever they said, here's my number, call me or we'll meet and talk in person.
Okay.
And if they continue, then it ends. But I always try to give somebody that chance, because when you meet in person, things get ratcheted down a bit. And so, again, just be respectful of others, and promoting dialogue is a good thing. And if someone doesn't agree and says, I think you're wrong, okay, then tell me why. Because as former mayor of New York City, Fiorello LaGuardia, once said, there's no Republican or Democrat way of taking out the garbage, only a right or wrong way.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Bob, you happy? You're happy now?
Oh, sure.
And if people want to go learn more or reach out to you, they can find you on Facebook, they can find you on Instagram.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, fredforfirst.com. There's probably too many places to find me, but I'm not
or
hard
Mianus
to find.
Or Mianus Park with your dogs.
Or with Teddy Roosevelt and Reagan.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God.
yeah, you won't see me kayak in the summer, but I'll catch you out there next year.
Hurt his arm. All right. Well, thank you so very much for coming on the show today. I hope everybody enjoyed that. So that's Fred Camillo, and he's trying to improve our community. And then so is Bob Small here at the radio station. So I'm here with two great guys tonight. And come back next week. I have on a wonderful woman. She helps you get your story out. Right, Bob? Right, Fred? Lynn Galadner, and she runs a company called Your People, which is a social media and public relations company, and she's helping people to really get to the heart of their story so they can communicate with others. So listen in next week while we have Lynn Galadner on. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Voice of Greenwich, 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Migrant Plight. I'm Barbara Cusack. The Gulf Coast is bracing as tropical storm and hurricane watches already have been posted ahead of a system that could become this year's first hurricane to make U.S. landfall. Meteorologist Tom Sater raises concern that Louisiana's levees could be topped with up to 20 inches of rain forecast.
When Hurricane Katrina made landfall, the levee on the Mississippi River in New Orleans was just over 3 feet. Right now, that same levee is at 16, expected to go to 20. The record is 21. This could be the highest level at this levee system in 90 years.
A Guatemalan mother seeking asylum told a House panel today that she came to the U.S. seeking safety, but instead watched her infant daughter die slowly and painfully. Through an interpreter, Yasmin Juarez.